Good afternoon, everyone. So good to be here, to be able to worship with you. Before I get into today's message, I just want you to know that last Sunday, at this time, I was in Taiwan. I was doing missions, so I just came back. So if you ever done anything, missions overseas, you know that when you are, just because you're here physically, doesn't mean that your mind is here, right? Because so much happened there, and your mind is, your heart is still there. So so please pray for me, that forgive me if I start preaching in Taiwanese, all right? Okay, so as you know, Olympics is among us. Let's see if this works. Okay, Olympics is among us, and I trust you are all following it, enjoying Olympics. For me, I used to run track and field when I was in junior high and high school. I used to do long jump, triple jump, relays. So I am very, very interested in the Olympics. And if you love sports, I mean, this is competition at its highest level. Right? Athletes from the entire world, they're coming together to compete with one another. Well, today, the Apostle Paul, he uses the imagery of competition, imagery of training to communicate the way we should live our Christian life. Now, you think we are excited about the games. The people in Corinth, the people that the Apostle Paul was talking to, writing to, they are even more excited about it because that's where the games all started. Now, commentaries tell us that every four years for 1,000 years without break, the games would take place in the cities of Athens, in the city of Corinth. This is part of their tradition. This is part of their culture. This is part of their lives. And it's what they absolutely love and enjoyed. And so the Apostle Paul, he used the analogy of the games to communicate and to drive home his message to them, the Corinthians. I trust it will communicate, speak to us as well. So before we jump into today's passage, I need to prepare you, all right? I need to prepare you for today's passage because in order for today's message to really speak to our hearts, we have to see ourselves as athletes, you have to see yourself as you're competing, you're running in the race. You said, Pastor, I have not been running for who knows how many years, and I have not been exercised for so long. Well, that's why we need this message. That's why we need this message. And guess what? The Apostle Paul, he will be our personal trainer. He will be the one cheering us on, and he is the best because he is always so focused and intense. So with that in mind, let's read today's scripture. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27. Let's read it first in English and then second time in Mandarin. All right? Let's read together verse 24. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified.
岂不知在场上赛跑的都跑，但得奖赏的只有一人。你们也当这样跑，好叫你们得着奖赏。凡教力真心的主事都有，他们不过是要 的冠冕，我却是要得不能坏的冠冕。所以我奔跑不像像的，不像打空气的，我是个子身，叫身服我啊，我就不应给别人，自己反被弃权了。
May God bless the reading of his word. Paul is so intense. How do we run this race in such a way to win the prize? The coach, Apostle Paul, he tells us to run with intensity, to run with discipline, and to run with purpose. Let's look at the first point, running with intensity. Verse 24 says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it." So here, notice the Apostle Paul, he says, "You do know, don't you?" Right? He uses a question to communicate his point. He's saying, you should know this. You should know that you are in the race. And everyone who runs, competes, is in it to win it. Paul's so intense. You do know, don't you? Don't you know? You should know. You should know that you are running this race. Almost every year, our church participates in an event called Freedom 5K Run. It's a fundraiser to stop human trafficking. And so every year, a lot of people, young and old, we would just attend this event and we would run together. But nobody really runs. You know how it is, right? It's a church activity. Everybody who runs, who participates, they get a free t-shirt. And so we wear our t-shirt together and we just walk together, right? We just, hey, how are you doing? Oh, look at you. And we just have a grand old time. And I remember the last time I ran, I walked this race, I ran into an elder in the church, and we just, as we were walking, we just talked about life, we caught up on life, and we talked the entire 5K, we just kept talking. Now, imagine, if at the beginning of the race, somebody told me, "Solomon, you do know, don't you?" You do know, don't you, that the winner of this race gets a Tesla. At the end of the race, if you know what? I wouldn't be talking to anybody. I would not be talking. In fact, if I knew that I might win a car at the end of the race, for 6 months leading up to this race, I would watch my diet. For 6 months leading up to this race, I would actually exercise to prepare myself for this race, to get in shape. And you see, that's what the Apostle Paul is talking about. He says, you do know, don't you? Come on, you do know, don't you, that you are in the race. And he's talking to the Corinthians, he's talking to the Christians, that, hey, you're supposed to run in such a way as if to win the prize, to win the race. And that should be our attitude for Christians here in this room. That's the way we should approach our faith. Many missionaries, after they come back from third world countries where they work with Christians who they live their lives for Christ in such a way that they were in constant danger because of their faith, that they might lose their lives, that they might get arrested, that they might get in jail. And after working with these people in third world countries, they come back to the States and they see the Christians in the States. And this is the observation they made. Let's go to the next slide. Can you help me? So they said that in many churches throughout the Western world, Christianity has become a spectator sport. Let me say that again. In many churches throughout the Western world, Christianity has become a spectator sport, meaning where instead of straining and giving 110% in running the race, Christians here simply kind of sitting on the sidelines and they're just looking at other people running the race. I want to show you a picture of somebody who is in it to win it. Look at this person, right? Michael Phelps, right? Look at the intensity on his face. But then look at the opposite. This man on the couch, he says, "Why exercise? Why go to the gym to exercise when I can watch professional athletes do it all for me? Can somebody pass me another slice of pizza, please?" Right? See, that is the opposite of what we're talking about. Now, from a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being Michael Phelps, 1 being Mr. Couch Potato, all right? Where are you? Where are you in your intensity in running the race? Where are you? 10, Michael Phelps, 1, Mr. Couch Potato. Let me take a guess. You will probably say, usually I'm around 7 or 8. Yeah, pretty good, right? 7 or 8, that's pretty good. And it's summer, so such a nice day, and you know, I'm kind of relaxed, so it's about 6 or 5. You know what the Apostle Paul would say, our coach? No, that's not going to do it, right? You need to give me an 11. 11, I need you to give it all you've got. And that's what the Apostle Paul is trying to say. We need to be in it to win it. So what does that mean? How does that translate into our Christian life? Let's look at some verses. Let's hear the passion, the intensity, the yearning of those who run with such intensity. My soul is consumed or crushed with longing for your ordinances at all times. My soul is so overwhelmed, is so consumed with your word. Next verse, Psalm 63:1. God, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. God, I am so thirsty for you. I want you. Wow. Another verse, Philippians 3. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. See, may these words inspire us, motivate us to pick up our speed, kick up another gear, and may we be reminded that we are not just taking a walk in the park, no, but we are in the race and we must run with the highest level of intensity. So how do you do that? Second point, we must run with discipline. Run with discipline. Look at this verse. 25-27. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control. Wow! The Apostle Paul, our coach, he says, I tell my body what to do. I tell my body what to do. But for most of us, it's the other way around. Our bodies tell us what to do, right? Our feelings tell us what to do. Look at the very popular sayings these days. These are very popular sayings. Follow your heart. It knows the way. Wow. That's the message that we have today. Follow your heart. Just follow your heart. Okay? How about next one? Nothing is wrong if it feels good. Nothing is wrong, right? How could it be wrong? How could it be so wrong when it feels so right? All right? How about this next one? Okay, sometimes you have to stop thinking. If it feels right, it probably is, so just go with it, all right? Sometimes you just have to stop thinking. Sometimes you think too much, so you just have to do it, right? You just have to go with whatever feels right. Not for an athlete. Not for an athlete. An athlete tells their body what to do. Eliud Kipchoge was born in 1984. What does that mean? That means he is about 40 years old. 40 years old, right? And in spite of his age, he is regarded as one of the greatest marathon runners of all time. Okay, I want you to hear some of his accomplishments. He is the winner of, listen to this, 14 marathon races, 14 marathons, including the last two Olympics, 2016 and 2020. The only man to have won the Berlin Marathon five times. And he is the first and only person in history to break the two-hour barrier for the marathon. That means our service today started at 2 p.m., right? By the time we end our service around 4 p.m., he would have finished a marathon. Can you believe that? He is crazy. He's so good. He's so good. Now, this is how he trains. He runs about 5,900 to 6,200 miles each year. Now, if we break that down, it averages 120 miles per week. All right, now what does that mean? All right, how many miles are in a marathon? Can anybody tell me? 26, that's right. Which means this guy runs the equivalent of about 4 to 5 marathons. A week, he runs that much. And listen to what he says. He's crazy. He says, the marathon is hard because the second day, you don't go up or downstairs. He's funny, right? He's like, the second day, you cannot walk. That's how hard it is. And then he says, I always tell people that this is really simple deal. You just have to work hard. You just have to work hard. There's nothing easy about it. There's no easy way around it. How about this one? Takes discipline. Only the disciplined ones in life are free. If you are undisciplined, you are a slave to your moods and your passions. Wow. If you are undisciplined, you are a slave. Your moods, your passions will tell you what to do. And this is what he said about discipline. He said, it's not about the legs. It's not. It's about the heart and the mind. If you don't rule your mind will rule you. How true. How true of life, our everyday life. No athlete can do whatever their mood and their passion tells them what to do. No athlete can do whatever their heart tells them to do and expect to do well. One athlete asked his coach, "Coach, can I eat anything I want? Coach, can I eat anything I want?" The coach said, "Yes, you can, but you will never win." You will never win. See, when you think about discipline and self-control, what are we talking about? It's the ability to say no for the greater good, right? The ability to say no to ourselves right now for the greater good of the future. So I want you to look at this quote. "A good thing becomes a blank thing if it keeps you from the blank thing." What do you think? A good thing becomes a bad thing if it keeps you from the best thing. Isn't that good? A good thing becomes a bad thing if it keeps you from the best thing. And there are times in life we must say no to a good thing so that we can accomplish and experience the best thing. So let me ask you, are there any good things in our lives that we need to say no to right now so that we can experience the best thing that God wants to give us? And that's what the Apostle Paul would do. Paul would say no to his passions, to his own preferences, to his own desires, so that he could say yes to God. Now, if we were to ask the Apostle Paul, which food would you prefer? Jewish food or Gentile food? What do you like to eat? You know what he would say? He would say, you know what? I prefer whichever food that would bring most fruit to the gospel. Whatever would help advance the gospel, whatever would accomplish what God has called me to do, that's what I prefer. Let me tell you about this person, George Mueller, 19th century pastor, man of God in England, who started an orphanage to care for children who did not have a home. God used him to touch over 1,000 children, orphans. Now, how was he able to be used by God in such a big way? Listen to his words. "There was a day when I died, utterly died, to George Mueller. His opinions, preferences, tastes, and will. Died to the world, its approval of censure. Died to the approval or blame of even my brethren and friends. And since then, I have studied to show myself approved only unto God." He is saying, I died to myself. I died. I died to George Mueller. I died to my desires. I died to my preferences. I died to my rights. I lived for God. I said no to myself so that I could say no, say yes to God. And God used him in such a big way. All of us, God has granted us desires and preferences, and they're all good things. But when they become our idol, they stop us from living for God. And may God help us to have the discipline at times to say no. No, it's good, but no. No, thank you. So that I can accomplish what God wants for me. Lastly, run with a purpose. Run with purpose. Verse 25, every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. The Apostle Paul says, can you imagine an athlete running aimlessly around and around, running here, running there, while he was supposed to run towards the goal? Can you imagine a boxer getting into the ring and just beating the air and not focusing on the opponent? He says, how can anybody win like that? But the point is this, the Christian life is a life of purpose. The Christian life has a mission. Nobody can live a Christian life without purpose, without direction, and expect to run the race well. And that's why the Apostle Paul, he's making a contrast between the perishable and the imperishable crown. See, at that time, at the end of the race, the winner is awarded with a wreath like this. That's made up of olive branch, and that's fashioned as a crown, and which can only last so long. And it's a perfect imagery of a crown that is fading. And sometimes we in life, we chase after this, and then we chase after that, and we're running aimlessly searching for a crown, but it's only a crown that will fade. And the Apostle Paul says, if an athlete works so hard to pursue a crown that fades, don't you think that we should even work harder when it comes to a crown that will never fade? Live for, not for the temporary, but for eternity. Paul says, the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 12, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. And some translation translates that word perfecter as finisher of our faith. See, Jesus, he died for our sins on the cross. But that's not all. He conquered death by resurrecting from the dead. And so he took care of the power and the penalty of sin in our lives, and now he is seated at the right hand of the Father. And that is the basis of our faith. We put our trust in Jesus Christ. And that's why we need to fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter, or the finisher of our faith. Now, I want you to look at another passage. Paul says, he who began a good work in us will, and it's the same word again, will finish it unto the end. In other words, this passage is reminding us today that our Lord Jesus Christ, he did not just start the journey for us. He did not just set an example for us by running the race before us. No. This verse tells us he is helping us. He is enabling us to finish our race strong. Because he who began a good work in us will finish it unto the end. I want to end today's message with a story who finished well. Eric Little was a missionary to China, and he eventually died in China for the sake of the gospel. He was an Olympian, runner. He represented the Great Britain. But as a devout Christian, his conviction prompted him to forfeit his event, the 100-meter dash, which took place on a Sunday. The world of Britain turned against him. The newspapers called him a traitor. The Prince of Wales tried to convince him to change his mind. But for Eric Little, the decision was final. It was God first. His own desires and those of his countrymen will have to take the second place. He knew well the words of 1 Samuel chapter 2. He that honors me, I will honor. God comes first. So he ended up running the 400-meter dash, which was not his event at all. Well, he did. As he ran the race, his speed for the first 200 meters was unbelievable, putting him 10 feet ahead of everyone else. The announcer said these words, "Surely he was running the race like a madman. There is no way he could keep up such a pace." Everyone knew that in 400-meter dash, it's not so much how you start, it's how you finish. However, not only did he finish the race, he finished well. Eric Little not only won the race, he broke the world and Olympic record in doing so. Years later, when he was a missionary in China, he was asked how he ran that 400 meters. "What is the secret?" he said. "The secret for my success over the 400-meter dash was this. I ran the first 200 meters as hard as I could. And then for the second 200, with God's help, I ran it harder." With God's help, I ran it harder. I gave it all, my all. I ran it harder. My brothers and sisters, in a way, all of us, right, have started running this race. I hope today's message encourages you that for the remainder of the race, with God's help, let's run even what? Harder. Amen. Let's run with God's help. Let's run even harder. And may we be able to say these words like the Apostle Paul said at the end of his life. He said this, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day." Let's read together in Chinese. 那美好的仗我已经打完了，当跑的路我已经跑尽了，所信的道我已经守住了，从此以后有公义的冠冕为我存留，就是按照公义审判主。 到了那日要赐给我的，不但赐给我，也赐给爱慕他显现的人。Amen. May God help all of us to run this race with intensity, with discipline, and with purpose. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for speaking to us. Lord, you know we need to hear that message, because in life, there are so many things that distract us. In life, we get so tired. We get so exhausted. We get so fatigued for doing what is good. Heavenly Father, help us. May your Spirit encourage us. Because with your help, Lord, we can do it, and we could run even harder in this race to bring glory to you. Help us to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.